So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
For those of you that want to see the Tim Anderson docuseries, I retweeted a link to it. If you follow me on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes. That's also my tag for Instagram. But it's up there for you that you could just check it out yourself if you want. Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo, Privacy Simplified. And Transition is being brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Parkins and Spiegel are in the house. Boys, that was a nice Bulls win last night.
A needed Bulls win. Must win, right?
In that situation, for sure, Danny, where you get to push them back to 2.5 games behind you for the play-in, yes, must win.
And not in like a Bernstein technicality way, where it's like, well, they have more games, so it's not technically a must win. No. But for all intents and purposes,
nice.
You know, that was a must win.
And it was a fun watch. That's what I liked. I was like, oh, yeah, I totally remember this feeling of look at them playing defense. Look at them running. Oh, and this guy works off the bench. And that guy works off the bench. And Zach takes over for a spell. Then DeMar takes over for a spell. And it was not in doubt. Been a long time since you had one that felt like that from our perspective.
It's nice, too, where you see the actual benefits of, well, we have this guy back or this guy back, where it was kind of a nebulous thing, but seeing the evidence of your rotation shortening up and you not having to play Derek Jones Jr., you know, more minutes than you should probably play him, that those minutes are being eaten by Io and P. Will, like, that's what you want.
Well, you know, Io, we've learned now, has a lot of tools in the toolbox. Like, he's got a lot of different things, and he's never going to be this guy, but on the day when Jamal Crawford retired, Io just kind of settled into, all of a sudden, just come out and be aggressive, kid. And he was so aggressive, wasn't he? Every chance he had to shoot, every chance he had to drive. And that's not something that he should do if he's the starter out there at point guard and kind of helping to set the template and distribute. But in the role that he's in last night with Caruso starting, Io can just go out there and do that. And he's got that tool. He's got that tool in the box, and he accessed it last night. That might fit him better than we thought.
It's a weird spot. Like, Patrick Williams and Io off the bench is a promising bench, but it's an inexperienced one.
Right.
You know, Caruso coming off the bench makes a lot more sense on a really good team. I know on this team it now makes sense for him to be a starter because of the Lonzo injury, but like the best version of the Bulls, I don't think has Caruso in the starting line.
No, I think you're right, but because of what he brings to the overall team defensive intensity and activity, he feels kind of essential in the starting lineup now that he's healthy. Like it's just
because Lonzo isn't there to do the same thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how bad yesterday would have felt had they lost and you're getting the Lonzo news?
Yeah, the Lonzo news happened with about 30 minutes left in the show, and I think we wanted to do something. We had something that's kind of silly planned for that segment, and
instead we just cried together.
Yeah, it was just like
some weeping.
Lawrence, like, what a range of emotions this season has been. Like, we went into it where the optimist was the four seed. You know, like the best case scenario that basically anyone was painting was, yeah, maybe they could host the first round playoff series. And then it was, they might have the MVP and home court advantage and the executive of the year and the coach of the year and like all these accolades. And before yesterday's game, it was Lonzo can't run for 10 days. And if they lose tonight, they're a half game out of the play-in.
Right.
Like, it's been a roller coaster, man.
Yeah, and Lawrence, I don't know. I mean, maybe a lot of people have joined me, but at this point, I said it yesterday. I, too, in solidarity, will not run for 10 days.
Okay.
So
I see you stepping up for Lonzo.
Yes.
I like that.
Although I did ride a bike this morning in a dark gym, as my wife did much more aggressive and, you know, higher caliber exercise things.
Why was it a dark gym?
Well, I mean, I suppose.
Are you not familiar with gyms? They have lights.
I did turn on the lights.
Okay.
So that's a good point, but it was still dark outside.
Yeah,
there's a lot of natural light.
Yeah, the darkness outside. Like, you got to fight through that if you're in the gym.
Like, I was that dude. I mean, she frequently is, but I was that dude at 4:10 in the morning sitting on an exercise bike in a
what?
In a yeah, that was me
today.
Yeah, that was me today. But you know what I did?
Voluntarily.
I voluntarily and voluntarily, both of them.
So
I did it.
So what's she doing? Is she doing like some plyometric stuff? Is she doing
runs,
the heavy weights?
She runs.
Like this.
She runs 5 miles. Wait, you don't like me working out?
Not at 4:10 in the morning.
Why? What's wrong?
That's okay.
Early Bulls game. I caught all of it. Was asleep very shortly after the Bulls game.
Danny, he's like an NFL coach now, man.
That's right.
You better start stepping up your preparation.
I sleep at the office, kid. Let's go. You know, I didn't drink. There was no wine at all last night.
All I know is this wasn't your idea. That's all I'm saying. Like you can spin it however you want on the air.
I didn't say it was my idea.
You can make me out to be the bad guy.
No, I didn't say it was my idea.
No way. You did this voluntarily.
Wait a minute.
Without some pressure, and there's no way it was your idea.
Well,
I don't believe it.
This is the thing. She does it, and it was certainly her idea, but she did not lean on me with the pressure. She did not. I had the option. My half of the bed, my half of the bed was still available and open. And then
her half was available. You could have just been like the king
dude,
of the castle.
You kidding me, man? That's an hour. An hour solo at 4 a.m. Let's play some games on the phone. Let's watch TV. Or let's just go to sleep,
Let's sleep, perhaps. Until 5 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Instead, I rode an exercise bike and watched condensed versions of several different basketball games. LeBron was really good.
Oh, my God.
He's a good basketball player.
It's ridiculous that he's still this good at so many things at this age. The last, four shots of that game that he made, including that ridiculous fadeaway, let alone the freight train dunk that I saw you tweet as well, Lawrence. But he was just so good in every phase last night. It's absurd that he's still this good. Really.
Did you guys, so he dunks on Kevin Love, his head gets to the rim, like rim height. It's an amazing thing to be averaging 38-6 in year 19, and you know, I have a shot.
If his team wasn't so crappy, we'd be talking about him as an MVP candidate.
Yeah, absolutely,
we would.
And it's never been done before in the history of the NBA to have this type of production in your 19th year. Like Kareem, I think was 14 or 15 a game,
man,
his 19th season, and LeBron's averaging 30.
That's really, truth be told, that's the Kareem I remember. You know, I mean, I know he was better, obviously, but the Kareem of my basketball youth heyday was like, well, can't block the skyhook. Let him keep shooting that one for a while.
Sure.
While everybody else did the heavy lifting.
I mean, just think about it. The last time LeBron averaged 30 was 2007.
Wow.
He's remarkable.
He's the T-1000.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But did anyone, so you see the dunk, and then you see Kevin Love mess with him and kind of, you know, get him into the headlock and kind of tackle him a little bit to the ground. I felt like Kevin Love went a little aggressive there. Like, maybe it's the guy with the bad back thinking that if someone who was 250 pounds hung on my neck like that, that I would snap in half like a twig.
That's interesting.
But could you have imagined if Kevin, like, I feel like LeBron thought Kevin Love was coming in for like a joke. Uh-huh. And Kevin Love was coming in for a joke, but he came in kind of aggressive. Imagine if that would have been the thing that ended LeBron's season.
Oh, that's funny.
Getting tackled by Kevin Love like in an overly aggressive, playful manner. I had like Gus Frerotte nailing his head into the wall flashback.
I think that's when you try to save a little face and show that you are, you know, you have a higher level of testosterone than the recent highlight might portray. You're like, oh, not only am I more physical and aggressive and stronger than that highlight, we're also cool, me and him. He didn't put his nuts in my face on purpose. It was just happenstance, that kind of thing.
I enjoyed it. That was the old school horseplay. That's what that was. And I like that.
But with purpose. Sometimes that old school horseplay has a little like, I'm still tough, remember me, purpose to it.
Oh, as a little brother.
Yes.
I am very much aware of that. Because, you know, I love sports and my brother was good at it, but he didn't love it the same way. So even though he's 5 years older than me, I got to be better than him fairly quickly. And damn, then you would get reminded pretty quickly. Because even now, like, my brother's 6'1".
Dude.
You know, and I'm barely 5'9". And occasionally, you know, maybe you get a little harder foul. When you come in there trying to lay the ball in. You get pushed around when you're on the dribble talking junk to your big brother. And he's like, oh, all right, let's see if you can get past me now when I'm trying.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that stuff never goes away. Like, I was just on vacation with my brother, and there was a moment where he was lying in this very placid water in the ocean, just relaxing with his eyes closed. And I was like, you know what? I'll just make sure he stays comfortable, and I'll protect him. And then I did the same thing, and I'm like, he's going to come over here and dunk my ass in the water any second, isn't he? Like, those vibes never, ever go away. I mean, how old do I have to be to not feel like that dude's little brother?
Never.
Man, it happens, never, man. But I enjoyed that they were doing that. And I also enjoyed that Kevin Love, like, immediately got up and started running back down the floor. Because you know that you've been posterized. There's not really anything that you can do. What I thought was fascinating is that this morning, ESPN showed that highlight back to back to back to back, like Tom Emanski, like they showed it like 10 times. And then they were like, now let's look at the reaction of fans. So they show the dunk, like, here's Myles Garrett reacting to it. Myles Garrett ends up spilling a drink on his date to the game after the dunk. Here are some more fans. It was really, really hilarious the way that they ran it back. And I'm sure Kevin Love was just like, you know what? I'm not going to turn on the TV or go on the interwebs today because I'm the star of Twitter, and you never want to be the star of Twitter.
God, isn't that right?
Yeah, because if it was, you know, if it was Javonte Green or Zach LaVine or something, they'd show the highlight once or twice. They would talk about the dunk. It'd be on SportsCenter Top 10, and they'd keep it moving. But LeBron programs a lot of hours nationally in our industry.
So, oh, yes, he does.
This is an opportunity to dust off the top 10 LeBron dunks of all time.
Yep.
This is an opportunity to dust off the top 10 LeBron teammates of all time. The top 10 LeBron shoes of all time.
You could actually even make it broader, the top 10 in-game dunks of all time.
Yes.
Because I immediately started thinking about Tom Chambers. That was immediate. Oh. I was like, yeah, man. That was akin to Tom Chambers dunking on Mark Jackson.
Scotty on Pat Ewing.
Oh, my God. The most disrespectful dunk in the history of the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Vince Carter in the Olympics.
Yeah. That one had like a tragic end, though, right? Wasn't that like, didn't that lead to his depression? And I think there's a tragic end to that story.
That's too bad. Well, how about Benedict Mathurin?
It was a great dunk, though.
It was. It's one of the best dunks ever. Yeah.
How about Benedict Mathurin?
Right over a 7-footer that was trying.
Benedict Mathurin the other night for Arizona in the Sunday night game against TCU. Benedict Mathurin, you see that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Sean Kemp and Chris Gatling.
Oh,
with the point. Let's
Dr.
go.
Dr. NBA.
Let's go.
Look at the doctor. In. He's prescribing YouTube videos of excellent dunks for your afternoon. It's well done.
The point is the best part. Like, the dunk is obviously disrespectful, but the point afterwards by Rain Man is a joy.
He still might be my favorite dunker of all time, other than Mike. You know? I mean, it's just something about his power. I heard a caller talking this morning with Mully and Hawes. They were talking about Kofi Coburn and like whether he's going to go pro or whether he'd come back and try to work on having a little bit of a pick and pop game, just like the tiniest little bit of a pick and pop game or that kind of thing. And a caller was saying, and he's right, that Kofi doesn't dunk when he's 3 feet away from the rim.
Yeah.
And you remember how far away Shaq or Sean Kemp would be when they just decided, I'm in dunking territory. Like, they're 15 feet away, and they're like, raise arm and body and leap. Don't care who's in between. I'm in my dunk zone.
Or the guy that we're going to see tonight. Giannis is like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see him drop step on the baseline and be like, how did he do that? Like, and
his arms
go,
just
go
keep
gadget
going.
Arms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how. His arms just go on the length of the court.
Yeah.
It's funny you bring that up. Well, I was watching the games a few nights ago with some buddies and a friend of mine who's pretty casual sports fan, but gets into the tournament. And he's like, Kofi is just like of the wrong era. Like, if he would have been this size 20, 30 years ago, he would have been a Shaq-like figure, right? I'm like, No.
That's disrespectful to how good and athletic Shaq used to run the break.
Right, exactly. We pulled up Shaq LSU.
Oh my God.
Outrageous.
YouTube, and it's, you know, breaking backboards, coast-to-coast dunks like you're talking about, Lawrence, running the break. And just like, he was slender but cut and just could take off from the elbow, felt like.
Right. It was a different kind of athlete. It was
explosiveness.
Like
explosiveness.
Yes, yes.
Like, Kofi is a giant brick house who could stand to play more powerfully.
Uh-huh.
But because he's much bigger and stronger than everybody, it still is pretty damn effective.
This is why everybody wanted Neon Boudot. You know what I mean? This is why
he got the car.
It's why he got the car.
He didn't even want the car.
He didn't matter. They were just going to give it to him.
Woo, woo, WU. Woo, woo. WU.
Meanwhile, Matt Nover is getting, what, $150 in cash?
He felt that a white blue chip player.
I figure a white blue chip athlete like myself deserves something extra, $30,000, like having cash. And I was tossing one of those gym bags you got.
Tossing one of those gym bags.
Just bring it on over with a tractor.
But that moment when Nick Nolte walks into the gym and sees Neon Boudot in the tiny little ramshackle gym, that was all of us when we saw Shaq the first time. It was like, what? Who can do that? It's ridiculous.
It didn't make any sense.
No.
It didn't make any sense then. And really, like, looking back on it, it doesn't make that much sense now because the guys that are like that, like Joel Embiid, right,
mm-hmm.
could be that relative to his skill level and his size, but he shoots multiple threes a game.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just a different era of the big man, which is why it's hilarious when Barkley and Shaq on TNT talk about Embiid. They get frustrated by him sometimes, but it's like, dude, he could win the MVP, and he is the most dominant big man. It's just a different game.
Yes,
think about the perspective that those guys are talking about it from. Barkley was the most dominant big in the game, and he's 6'5". Like, he's legitimately 6'5", and he used to dominate.
Yeah, incredible. That's another guy who was special in that way in terms of the jumping and the ferocity and the motor. It is what did it. But like,
what Kofi reminds me of is not old school, like 80s, 90s centers. He reminds me of like 80s, 90s power forwards.
100%, like Buck Williams.
Yes. Yeah. But not his skill, because Buck was skilled.
Buck developed a jumper to last in the league. Even, you know, AC Green had to find a jumper eventually, you know? And have some sex eventually.
Well,
like, that was a good idea.
Do we know that? Or
I think he got married eventually. It just came up today, as a matter of fact, too. Do religious people have sex? That came up. The answer was yes.
The answer is yes. A whole lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. The answer wasn't do they. That was not the question.
Oh, okay.
Is it appropriate to bring up sex around religious people? And the answer, I think, is still yes.
You ever been around any preacher's kids? Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah. I saw Footloose. Yeah, man. Troubles. Actually, there wasn't a preacher's kid, just the preacher in Footloose. And take it all back. Damn it! Penalty box. Guys, carry on.
No, that's fine.
Timeout. Give myself a time.
You're putting yourself in a timeout?
I am.
Why? But that joke you told yesterday doesn't put yourself in a timeout?
That joke was a winner, and you know it. Speaking of that, Lawrence.
So wait, AC Green didn't get married till 2002?
That is correct.
Oh.
So that man went a long time.
Oh, my God.
I know. As part of the Showtime Lakers, ladies and gentlemen.
Weird.
Dr. Buss, I want to talk to you about something. Come on into the hot tub.
When he got married.
Yeah.
That's a lot of backup.
He was explosive. He was explosive after
a
while.
A scary movie. The movie. It's a lot of backup.
Hey, Lawrence.
Sorry.
Why isn't a koala actually considered a bear?
For God's sakes.
Do you know why it's not actually? You know why a koala is not actually considered a bear?
No, Speaks. Why is a koala not considered a bear?
Because it doesn't have the qualifications. It just doesn't.
Be more funny.
Come on! Come on!
Who is this for?
I actually now want it every day.
Oh, no. Can every we do day. It at 1:57 on your time?
But then I'll disengage, because that's what you got to do after a joke like that. You just got to run away.
You know what's funny? Yeah, you know what's funny is that I was at a birthday party with Ruben the other day, and all these kids were at Top Golf, and they're all playing at Top Golf for the birthday party. And this dude walks by with like a full set of clubs and says, "Excuse me, is this a birthday party?" And he tells that joke to the kids. And then he leaves.
The koala joke?
Yeah. And so the guy told that joke to the kids, and I'm laughing. I'm like, wow, that dude needs kids. He doesn't have a kid. So we stopped to tell that joke to the party full
of
kids.
That guy's probably a fantastic uncle, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to be a fantastic uncle.
Yes.
He's like, oh, there's my koala joke demographic. Having a good time at Topgolf, playing with their friends. Hey, kids, gather around.
I've got one for these guys.
They're going to love this. Wait till they get a load of me.
Oh, man. All right, I know we're all over the place, but Texture says that Kofi Coburn reminds him of Mark Bryant.
That's a good comp.
That's a really good comp for the body shape, the body type. And sort of the skill set around the rim. I saw Mark Bryant in college. He was a beast.
He'll end up on an NBA roster. I think he'll end up on one. I just don't think that I don't think that he'll come even close to the type of impact that he's had in college. But he's the type of guy that I could see ending up on an NBA roster and living there for a while, just kind of under the radar as a hey man, we have to deal with Giannis today. So we're going to just put this body on you, and we're going to use up those fouls.
Yeah, like Joe Klein.
Yes, or John Konkak.
Well, yeah. Konkak got paid, though.
That's why I did a top five today of Hall of Famers at the Bank, and John Konkak was on it.
Was Chase Daniel on it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, because I heard you talking about it, and like my sensibilities and yours are completely aligned on this. But do you remember the Kevin Fishbane piece in The Athletic on Chase Daniel that quoted his wife and talked about how he's kind of tortured by it all? And, like, he doesn't look at it that way. He believes that they thought they were going to Philly, but it ended up being Nick Foles. And then Nick Foles cuts in for Carson Wentz. And so Nick Foles becomes Super Bowl MVP and the folk hero. And, like, they believe that that was their shot. And that he so badly wants to, like, he wants to
prove himself.
Yeah, like, he was always behind Drew Brees. And then Drew Brees never got hurt. And then he started going other places. And then those guys never got hurt. Like, so, like, Chase Daniel believes, and his wife believes, and has apparently, like, seen him be mentally tortured by this, that, like, he wants a shot. The preseason numbers say he should get a shot, but because of now age and size and younger and upside and all sorts of factors, it hasn't been there for him.
So I bet he's not tortured when he goes to the bank.
I know, Lawrence. I know. I feel the same way. But cry into your $100 bills, you healthy big baby.
You're going to escape the NFL without getting hurt.
I know, but we're when I heard you do that topic, I'm like nodding. Yep, agreed. But I think we are putting our sensibilities on Chase Daniel. Like I don't know that he views his career as some sort of overwhelming success or fulfilling thing that's happened to him, which is very interesting.
I get it. I get the idea that you don't get to that point if you aren't a competitor. Clearly, he had a phenomenal college career. I get it. But you got to look at this as a long play. And if I'm Chase Daniel, man, he's going to be making big money as an analyst or a coach.
He won't need to.
It's not just about the money to him.
I know.
But
I'm even looking at the quality of life. A bunch of these guys, the quality of their life is not great after playing a decade or more of football or, you know, a year of professional football. He's going to walk away scot-free with $50 million. And then a career after that could go on for decades because he's smart and he's entertaining and people like him. So whether he goes onto the broadcasting side or the coaching side, the man is going to have his money. He can succeed. And if he wants to channel all that into coaching and become one of those crazy competitive coach guys, he can do it that way. But look at what you got, brother. Brother, you got $50 million and you're not hurt.
And the other thing is, like, if you really care about doing a good job and being a good person, he might genuinely be that guy who is a phenomenal tutor in the quarterback room. Like a great practice squad quarterback.
That's what everybody says about him.
Right? A terrific teammate. And he might actually, wait for it, find value in those roles in his life. You know, some people enjoy doing that and actually helping the machinery, even if you're not the guy.
There's no question, and he's had an incredible career, and I'm with you on the legend at the bank stuff. I that piece was so good because I've been telling that Chase Daniel joke for forever because it was the same thing in Kansas City, and my co-host was a diehard Mizzou fan. He's like his favorite athlete of all time, but he's tortured by it. He thought he should have been Nick Foles, which is a weird thing to think that you should be. But anyway, we've got.
I wonder if that would be satisfying enough. Like, not the Nick Foles total career, but the Nick Foles moment where you come in and save the team when the starters hurt, you win the Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP.
Yes.
Would that have been enough to satiate, you know what, I did it at the highest level and I got paid?
When you're done and out of it, I guarantee it's enough.
Well, right, and the story was written after that. Like, I'm going to pull it up again. It was really, really good because it quoted Chase Daniel's wife saying, "We were watching that and we were happy for Nick, but I couldn't stop thinking that should have been us."
Wow.
And that's just got to be a crazy thing. Like that, you're like thinking, like, I worked out there. I know the coach. I know the offense. They chose him over me, but like, I know I was the second choice. He gets in. And he does exactly what I think I would have done if I would have been given the chance. And then he's a legend. And they build a statue for him. And the memes and the money and the accolades and the Super Bowl MVP, man. Like, your Super Bowl MVP, it's a short list. You know, there's Hall of Famers who have never been Super Bowl MVP. And so, like, being able to prove yourself in that moment, I would imagine to a competitor like that would have been worth it. But
Hall of Famer at the bank.
Open up the checking account.
Hall of Famer at the bank.
I'm with you.
Hey, Lawrence.
First ballot.
Wait till you hear what Danny told our guest at 3 o'clock. It is remarkable.
Who's the guest at 3 o'clock?
Mike Singletary.
Oh, Lord.
And wait, it's literally. Like, I'm just amazed that it was, maybe I was the guy to say it now that I think about it.
Did you tell him that he was the worst linebacker of the three?
I didn't bring that up. As a matter of fact, that didn't come up. Next time we'll call you in. You can deliver that.
Cause you know, he was,
why you got to put down our guests?
Did you tell him that if he took the 11 guys off that starting defense, that he might be the ninth guy picked?
Didn't bring that up.
Why bring down our guests?
No, we didn't. You know, what we did tell him is that if I had Hamp and McMichael you know, eating up blockers in front of me that I could have had 130 tackles in 1985.
Well, yeah. I mean, his job was easy.
I did for six months sit next to Dan Hampton. One could speculate that what I just said may not have been what Lawrence Holmes thinks, but maybe what other people have said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other people, though. I don't know who those might
be. Other people.
Yeah.
I'll say that sitting next to Hamp allowed me to get into other rooms with other people that might have been on that team.
Interesting. Can you confirm the monkey driving the limo quote? Can you confirm that for me?
I can neither confirm nor deny it.
Okay. Because that was about Jim McMahon.
I'm just saying that I've been in some of those rooms and I've heard some things.
Okay. You want to trash our 440 guest, too?
Who you got?
Joe Cowley.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Say a bad word about Cowley. I dare you.
Oh, Cowley Island, man. That's my brother right there.
Yeah, I thought so.
Man, Joe beat cancer twice.
Right.
Because nothing's tougher than Joe.
Well, actually, and the truth is that the bad words about Cowley are easy. You know what I mean?
He eats that up, man.
Yeah,
like,
he likes it.
He loves it. He's out here dunking on trolls and people who have podcasts and stuff on Twitter every night. Joe will tell you, they eat because he hunts. You
will
tell
him
that I said that.
He will tell you. Yeah, he has no problem pointing out.
That's right. Everyone in the Bulls verse eats because Joe Cowley is out there hunting.
If Joe Cowley wasn't there, we would know nothing about what these guys say into microphones with all those other reporters.
You damn right.
We'd have no idea.
Put some respect on that man's name.
So that's the show today. Mike Singletary at 3, Joe Cowley at 4:40. Plenty of Bulls, plenty of baseball. Games are being played for the Cubs and the Sox. We have sound from it. And big news about one of our Score teammates that we will get to as well. So big day today, Lawrence.
All right, boys. Have yourselves a show. I'll see you tomorrow.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music. While you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.